So welcome back, everybody, from lunch. I hope you're all doing well, that you have a chance to nourish yourself and with food and perhaps a little walk or a quick nap or whatever the body was asking for. And those of you who haven't sat with me before, this morning we had a lawnmower from Lauren. And with me, you get a lot of street noise. I live on a very busy street, so apologies are just, you know, that's the way it is over here. So we've had just a lovely gift that we've given to ourselves this morning. And as we start our afternoon, we'll be continuing to give ourselves that gift of quiet and introspection, sharing the Dharma. It's such a privilege to share the Dharma seat with Susan, Lauren, and Steve, and to share this day with you. I really appreciated the breakout group that I was in and all the reflections that people shared. So we're in the afternoon of our day long, and we've settled into kind of a ground of stillness. Gil Fronsdale talks about this teaching of the Four Foundations as a process of deepening intimacy. And so we started deepening this practice this morning, starting with the body. Susan invited us to get closer in to what is happening, not just on the surface. You know, from this first foundation, we gain really important information. It's where we really first start to see what's happening in the sense doors, all the many levels of sensations in the body. Then in the second foundation, that of feeling tone, the pleasant, the unpleasant, and those that are neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensations, we become even more intimate. Gil Fronsdale says that at this point we become the custodian of our mind and heart. We really start to see what is present. And we see how these sensations arise on their own without us really making anything happen. And we started to see this morning those little moments of freedom that can arise when we are aware of the feeling tone and the desire to make something out of it, to go to clinging or aversion, and we don't. We just leave it alone. I mean, it's not as easy a thing to do, leave it alone, as the words might imply, because the mind, of course, has something to say about that. So for this next period of time, we're going to explore the mind a bit together. That is the third foundation. This foundation, the mindfulness of mind, is about observing the mind and the state of the mind, seeing what's there, and with mindfulness, training the mind so that we aren't acting impulsively and out of reactivity. When you explore the four foundations of mindfulness, they talk about eight different pairs of categories of the states of mind, but we're only going to be really looking at the first three, because we just have a day long on all four of these foundations. You know, working with this first set, which I'll explain in a minute, is plenty. For those of us who've gone on longer retreats of a week, 10 days, or even a month, sometimes we spend that whole time on the four foundations. So the first set of three deal with what is known as in the practice as the three poisons: greed or lust, hatred or ill will or anger, and delusion. So we're going to be talking about and practicing with these three. Just as Lauren shared some of her first experience with Vedana, I remember when I first heard the foundation, this third foundation, and wondered, how can I do that? How can I know the mind through the process of the mind when I've already learned to not trust the thoughts that arose? But it is possible, and that's what we're going to be doing together. We're going to be practicing with non-reactive awareness, where we stop and look at the condition of the or the state of the mind. And we practice not getting real involved with the content, but notice more the tone or the state of things. As one teacher, her name is Temple Smith, says, we rest mindfully in all the cognitive and emotional states as they arise and pass away, with the courage not to change them. Another way of kind of framing this is, what's the attitude in the mind right now? What's the mood? What emotions are present? Even simply starting with asking these questions is a part of mindfulness. We ask the question, what's happening in the mind? And then we pause and wait for an answer. When an answer appears, we see it clearly and accept the truth that this is what's happening in the mind right now. In my breakout group this morning, we talked a bit about the labels we apply to these mind states or emotions. Many of the labels that we apply kind of have an energy and a life of its own. Oh, we say, anxiety is present. Then all the associations we have with the experience of anxiety, all the memories of what it felt like, what we did, all the whole story of it. So perhaps when we're taking this time to ask ourselves, what's truly the state of mind right now? We can ask, what's below that label? What, you know, kind of peel the onion below that label. I shared in my group this morning that I'm dealing with this really large future apartment building development that's going to be next to my property. And when I really started to understand the impact of it, oh my God, I was just filled with panic. And as I peeled the onion of what was this fear and panic, I realized that a big piece of it was that little small self of Sue's worrying that I wasn't going to be up to the task, that I wasn't going to make the right decision, that if something bad happens, it's because it's going to be my fault. And seeing how much ownership I was applying to this external situation really helped me to like start seeing some options. I started asking for help. I owned the self-doubt. I started calling it fear and panic. And really what was underneath and what was feeding that was self-doubt. So I encourage you, when the first labels come up, when you're asking, well, what's the state of mind? Maybe question it and pause a little bit and see what occurs. So the Satipatthana Sutta describes the instructions for the third foundation like this. The practitioner, that's us, you and me, knows a greedy or lustful mind and knows a mind without greed or lust. She knows an angry mind or a mind filled with ill will. And she also knows a mind without anger or ill will. He knows a deluded mind and a mind without delusion. Our task using our mindfulness is to know the particular mental quality and its absence. I really love what I learned in this one talk by Sally Armstrong. It's, you can get it on Dharma Seed, where she says, you have to know greed in order to know non-greed. You have to know anger and ill will in order to know non-anger and non-ill will. We ask ourselves, so what is the state of mind right now? Is there grasping and lust or greed? And it can be a fairly subtle knowing. Sometimes you just know that kind of a sense of wanting is present. It can be kind of an under-the-surface, generalized, non-object-specific wanting. It may arise just from kind of a restlessness, a slight wanting something other than this moment. And again, when we peel that onion, right below the restlessness is a desire for distraction, a desire for something juicy, anything juicy that's interesting, sometimes that's what happens when we've done our practice with Vedana and we realize that it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant, and it kind of stimulates that desire for just something interesting, something juicy, anything besides just this breath and body. So having peeled the onion a bit, we can really see the mind filled with desire and grasping. And then we go back to the first foundation. We know the feeling in the body of a grasping mind. For me, there's kind of a tightness in the chest, an overly active energy, almost like a buzzing feeling, a sense of being caught and caught up by the greed. It can feel all-encompassing as it fills up every available space inside of me. So I encourage each of you to look at, well, what happens when a mind state of grasping, of clinging, or of aversion comes up? How do you experience that in your body? It can be a really good clue for understanding it. As I was just mentioning, you know, we're in the third foundation, but we don't leave the first and second ones behind. You know, we really pay attention to that tight or tense, closed in, narrow and constricted feeling in the body where greed or ill will or live. And then when we notice that the body feels more spacious and expanded and light and less weighted down, that might be the mind without greed, the mind with the absence of ill will. You know, asking ourselves, and really becoming very familiar with the tightness in the chest or the buzzing energy or whatever for you is how both greed and aversion manifest. When you really know it, then you're going to also know what it feels like when it's gone. An important thing as we explore this, the mindfulness of mind, is not judging what we find. Just, oh, there's greed or wanting in the mind right now. And we really practice not getting caught up in the content of the wanting. And because we don't judge it, we can even more easily explore what that mind filled with greed or ill will is like. So if a judging thought comes up, just lightly let it go. This is the practice of knowing oneself, of becoming really intimate with oneself, knowing one's mind and heart. Adding any evaluations keeps us from fully knowing the experience. And not only do we refrain from judging, but we remind ourselves that we didn't create this state of mind. It's not mine or who I am. Just as the body sensations arise and pass away on their own, just as the Vedana, that feeling tone, arises without us even knowing that it's arisen, the same thing with the state of mind and the emotional states. I think we've all had the experience of waking up in a morning and just, you know, all this, you just feel grumpy. Well, what's that about? What did you do to feel grumpy? Or you wake up in the morning and there's just, you know, got this huge smile on your face and stuff. Did you create that? So the state of mind is like this. The emotions are like this. We can then really watch more clearly what the content is without getting attached to that content. Sometimes when we ask the question, what's the state of mind right now? The answer might be more complicated, not just a simple, oh, it's this way or that way. I've shared with a number of people over the last few weeks in the Sangha that my older brother Bob recently had an accident which resulted in a traumatic brain injury. And during the sit the other day, while I was sending him metta, phrases like, you know, may you be helped in your healing and may your healing be as full as possible, a voice, kind of this yelling voice in my head, yelled out, "I want my brother back." So much of wanting him. I felt so filled with this desire of wanting the Bob that I've always known, you know, funny, a smart aleck. Really, he can be very annoying, and I love him a lot, you know, and he's the person, like, you know, many of us at my age, he's the only person still alive who has known me since I was born. You know, he taught me how to ride a bike, and he taught me how to swim and dive, and, you know, that desire, that strong desire for the brother I've always known was so present. And it was a really good lesson in not judging what was up, because along with the desire was this love and sadness and fear. It was this softness in my chest that was filled with so much caring for him. And yeah, there was a contraction and a tightness, but that the physical manifestation of the combination of softness and tenderness and tightness really helped me see that no judging was in order. This is just kind of the normal human response to someone I care about being going through some really deep, difficult times, and the impact on him and his family and the impact on me. So sometimes when we ask that question, you know, so what's the state of mind? What's the emotion? It can be pretty complicated. It can be, and again, the body can help us understand that. It wasn't all tightness and contraction. It was such a mixture. So our task, as both Susan and Lauren have said, is simple but not easy. You know, is there greed in the mind or not? Is there ill will in the mind or not? You know, we get so identified with the stories from these states of mind. We get pulled into the stories. So we notice the pull and come back to whatever is your anchor, the breath and the body. And once you get settled again, you can then ask again, what's the state of the mind in this moment? We land in the experience. We get as close in and intimate as we can be. We stay curious. You know, the mind is so complex. We create the world through the mind. And this foundation really invites us to become more and more knowledgeable through our interest and curiosity and acceptance of what is present. You know, with ill will and anger, we often don't have to go looking for it. It seems like, if you're like me, it just happens so quickly. You know, we live in kind of angry, tumultuous times. It seems like it's so easy to just kind of go there. But once it's there, to really ask ourselves what's present and acknowledge the truth of what's present. With delusion, it can be really challenging to see when delusion is present. It's kind of like most of us ask the question, well, how does a deluded mind know that it's deluded? Again, I go back to Sally Armstrong's talk. She says, often delusion shows up as feeling like we're lost. And then when we're lost, we're lost. But then there's this moment of mindfulness comes back. It's that moment when awareness says, oh, you've been lost. When mindfulness is present, we're no longer lost. We knew that the mind was in a state of delusion. Or she suggests that sometimes we're really stuck in certain patterns of distraction and restlessness. It can, you know, it feels really familiar. And that can also be an indication of a deluded mind. Or sometimes we're going from one story to another. We're sitting and we have all this total random thoughts, maybe fantastical thoughts that arise. Again, when mindfulness kicks in, we see, oh, this was a mind being deluded. So I want to talk a little bit about emotions, and because like moods, you know, they really condition the mind. Here, at least in my experience, it seems like we give so much weight to emotions. You know, how many times have you said or heard somebody said, well, I just feel that way, as if there is some ultimate truth in the feeling. I think one of the beauties of this third foundation is that we're really encouraged to challenge that, to note the emotion, see how it conditions the attitude or state of mind, sit with it, fully experience it, perhaps ask, is this true? Like with my example that I was so filled with fear, but really underneath that was a lot of self-doubt. Again, we're on this path of self-knowing, of becoming intimate with the mind and heart. You know, a situation, say, that's really frustrating arises, and then we notice the emotion of anger. Well, what if we just fully experienced frustration and let the anger go? You know, yes, this is unpleasant, but maybe we don't need to blame anybody about it. On a longer retreat, it can sometimes be easier to practice with these because the mind has gotten so much quieter, a lot less chatter, you know, kind of more at ease. And with a quieter mind, it's also easier to connect with some of the ethical quality of the mind. It's easier to say, you know, so feeling so much greed or ill will, is this even consistent with what I value most? You know, is this consistent with my intention of doing no harm? You know, but even on a day long, we can still kind of ask ourselves that question. If you find your mind so filled with ill will, asking, you know, does this lead to happiness? Does this lead to the desire for a calmer, quieter, more settled life? And going back to my encouraging us to leave any judgments behind, no berating ourselves for the kind of mind that has arisen. And just as we don't judge that, oh, this mind is filled with ill will or anger, we also notice when the mind is free of ill will or anger or greed, we don't get all puffed up and proud and kind of, you know, well, aren't we something? Because, you know, we have a mind that's not filled with anger. It's all about awareness, all about sati, the knowing as intimately as possible what is actually happening moment by moment. We're observing without taking actions. We're not in opposition to the mind state or covetous of it. We're just observing on as deep a level as we can. This moment, this mind, it's like this. So we're going to have some time to sit and practice with this, taking a moment to let my words just kind of settle. Maybe if you found yourself responding to one part of it or another, something that kind of resonated with you, or you found yourself off in another direction, whatever, let's come on back, readjust our posture, settling down, recommitting to being here today in this lovely day long of practice, remembering why we came. This time after lunch is sometimes challenging because of the energy change after having something to eat. So if you need to have a little bit more upright posture, find that. If you need to get a drink of water or something like that, just, you know, take care of yourself. Remembering what Susan shared in her talk from Analayo, that the mind rests on the body just like the body rests on the cushion or chair or couch. That this mind is resting here with the body. Spending a few moments connecting to our bodies as we're sitting heavy and solid on the cushion or couch or chair. We feel that we're really here. We notice again the breath, the inhale and exhale. And as we settle into our bodies, we also remember Lauren's instructions and watch just the subtle arisings of pleasant, unpleasant, and neither. Just taking this time, this lovely gift of quiet and time of bringing attention to what's happening in body, mind, and heart. Perhaps there's a sense of pleasant that has quickly morphed into a clinging and grasping. Noticing that. Noticing that there's greed or grasping in the mind right now. Where the body is feeling pretty good. It's just pleasant and you've just let it be that way. And so the mind feels pretty absent of greed or clinging. Ah, this is what a mind that's free of greed feels like. Or noticing in the body, this is a mind that is filled with greed. This is what it feels like in the body. Just paying attention, receiving this really helpful information as we're on this path of self-knowing, becoming more and more familiar with our minds. If you notice some unpleasant sensations have come up, have those unpleasant sensations morph so quickly into aversion or ill will? Are you feeling that resistance, really wanting it to all go away? Are you kind of angry about it? Or just noticing what happens after the mind responds to the Vedana of unpleasant? Do you feel any changes in your body? Is there a tightness? Is there any kind of change of energy? Any buzzing? Just really asking what's going on right now with any of these unpleasant sensations. Or perhaps there was an unpleasant sensation and you just let it be. Ah, this is a mind absent of ill will or resistance. Really experience what that feels like. As we were reminded earlier in my talk, we need to fully experience greed and wanting in order to experience a mind that is free of that. We have to fully experience a mind filled with anger, blame, ill will, resistance, in order to know what a mind that is free of ill will, anger, blame, and resistance. What a lovely exploration, feeling the difference between them, knowing when the mind is filled with wanting or ill will, knowing when it is absent of wanting or ill will. And if you get lost and your experience is nothing much is happening, and then you find that you're just hunting around for something distracted or more interesting, once you catch yourself, once mindfulness comes back, oh, that was a mind that was deluded. So we reestablish our mindfulness. Whatever the different states of mind that arise, see if you can bring a level of patience to the experience. Nowhere to go and nothing to do and no one to be. Just staying with this experience, staying steady, watching as the mind state may shift as it naturally will. Or perhaps it gets stronger. And you notice how that manifests in the body, bringing that patience, that commitment to just watch, just know. Seeing what's happening in the body and mind, feeling what's happening in the body. What's the state of mind in this moment? Are you aware of when that state of mind or emotion or attitude changes? What's happening in the mind in this moment? Each moment is a new moment. What's the state of mind in this moment? As you identify what's present, pay attention to when you start claiming them as your own. Instead of, I'm angry, try anger is present. Instead of wanting this body, you know, I want this body sensation or pain to go away, you might try resistance is present. Wanting things to be different than they are is present. Just taking me, I, you, out of it. Mind states arise and they pass away. We're watching the states of mind and trying not to get attached to them. And you might also notice when the mind state is fairly equanimous. The mind is not adding anything to whatever has arisen. It's just kind of a non-interfering awareness in this moment. This moment is like this. The state of mind is like this.